there's a general sense of motherhood today that the world would share. And in a Venn diagram of overlap, what percentage of what the world would say about moms would God's design and God's heart for moms overlap? I think there'd be quite a bit of a difference. In general, it might share a lot. But wanted to look at a number of things this morning. This morning, my heart for moms, grandmas, spiritual moms, mothers-in-waiting, all of the different aspects, ladies, where you find yourself, is that you'd be encouraged, you'd be refreshed, you'd be inspired to see God a little bit bigger and to lean into him some more. And that this morning would not be another burden, another task, another thing that might feel like the world is telling you you're not doing enough in, but that God would see you and he has his eye on you. He knows you. But first, just a couple fun things. I think with Mother's Day, there's always a good, wait a minute, you're telling me your name's not Mom? Wait, your name is what? I think that's always fun when your kids learn your real name. They're like, wait, what? No way. That's incredible, right? Or, you know, Mom, I love how we don't need to say out loud that I'm your favorite, right? We just have this agreement that I already am your favorite. We all know that. Of course, good moms always let you lick the beaters, but the great ones will turn it off before they give it to you. So you have to really care for your kids in that way. And, you know, for all the years enduring of blood-curdling torture of my adolescent years, I promise to always keep your electronics functional. As they get older. So those are fun ones, but there'd kind of be this general lighthearted thank you mom kind of attitude today. And as I look at the world, I look at the design of femininity and the war of what male and female looks like and the whole idea of being a mom and the value and the priority of generations. I think just about every country has a declining birth rate at this point. And that's not a value statement or a judgment. That's what's happening. There's less and less children being born in every country. And that might be a good thing in your mind. That might be a bad thing in your mind. I don't know. But that's going to impact something of how we view, that's going to view our value on life, that's going to view what does it look like to work, who's worth living, who's not worth living. All of these things are very prescient. It's right at the surface. It's right there, all around us. I think it's a glory and a blessing, moms, for you and your kids and what God's given you, this amazing capacity to bring life. Eve, the daughter, right? The firstborn of all the living is basically Eve's name. Moms, you are life givers in so many different ways. There's a great verse here as we've been looking at 1 and 2 Timothy. And Timothy's line of faith, his lineage of faith, comes through the maternal side, not through his father, not through his grandpa, not through other things, through his mom and his grandma. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. So even as we've been looking at this book of 1 and 2 Timothy, I think you can make a pretty strong case without Lois and Eunice and their service and heart and care and love and input and investment into Timothy's life, it seems like it'd be not a far shot to say he's not doing what he's doing if they don't do that. And so what is it that Lois and Eunice were able to impart to Timothy? What's interesting is it doesn't tell us what Timothy's grades were in school. It doesn't tell us whether he learned what the outside fork or the inside fork, any of those things that we can start to think about. This is so important, right? What was imparted was faith, right? So it says right there, I am reminded of your faith, of faith that dwelt in these two women. And it wasn't just faith in faith. It wasn't just faith in trite sayings or things you thought might be in the Bible. It was a sincere faith, is what it says. So this faith that's real, it's not a mask. It was a real, lived-out faith that Lois and Eunice had that they were able to pass on to Timothy. And that sincere faith, Paul says, now I'm sure of it, it dwells in you. I've seen it in these ladies, and I see how they helped raise you and brought you up, and now I'm sure that it lives in you as well. So Paul is confirming and affirming of a work already done by this grandma and by this mom. And what was interesting about his family, if you read through the book of Acts, Timothy's family was kind of what we, in our day, we would not call it a mixed family. I'm guarantee you, in their day, they would say, oh, that was a mixed family. Because Timothy's dad was Greek, non-Jewish, and Timothy's mom was Jewish. Okay? So when he came to Derbe and Lystra, a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. I guarantee you that was a thing. Oh, they're a mixed family, right? There's intermarriage there. Jewish people are supposed to marry Jewish people. And so even if you can just think about that in general, what would be the faith that Lois and Eunice had to live through? What did they have to fight for as they lived in that setting, in that context? And even thinking about some of Paul's instruction later in other letters, right? In 1 Corinthians, Paul's like, hey, if you're married to an unbeliever, here's some thoughts on what you should think about. I'm guessing he counseled Timothy's family through very similar things. I'm guessing this was all firsthand. This wasn't just theoretical classroom knowledge. This was Timothy's life that he grew up in. And he was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. And so all those different challenges that Lois would have had to live through. I'm a believer. My husband, it doesn't seem like we have any case. It doesn't mean that he wasn't. We just have no proof that Timothy's dad was highly involved in any way. He might have been. We don't have any way to prove that. And so Lois, as this mom, Lois was the mom, right? Need to make sure. Yes. No, mom was Eunice. Lois was the grandma. So Lois and Eunice, the mom and the grandma, bringing up this son and other kids in faith, in a sincere faith. And so this morning, what I'd just like to look at is moms, what is that sincere faith that you get to pass along, that you get to take part in? You have all the same promises that Lois and Eunice, all the other women of old, got to partake in. What are the promises and the faith that God can walk with you in that's going to be countercultural? Some of these things I'm going to share are like, you would never hear this at CSU. This would be like, you're kicked out. You'd have a mob attack you. And do you want to stand in these things and say, this is God's heart? This is what he's got. So let's pray together and just ask for God's grace. Thank you, God, this morning for your word. Thank you that it leads us and it helps us to see what it means to walk with you and to live with you in a world that's gone crazy, in a world that's set against you. It's not a neutral world that we live in. You say that this world is ruled by the prince of the power of the air. There are forces, spiritual forces in this world against your design. And I pray for the hearts of the moms as we share through this, Lord, just that your word, would there be a word that you could speak to them that would refresh them, that would inspire them, that would help them to lift their eyes up and see your great calling that you've given them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this faith that Eunice and Lois passed on to Timothy, they said that it's a sincere faith. A sincere faith, and I recognize this is probably like an unhealthy soapbox thing, but I just can't help but walk around Christian bookstores and go, this just does not feel like it, right? I used to, actually in high school, I worked at a Christian bookstore, and it just kind of drove me a little crazy how often Jeremiah 29:11 was on every single thing. I go, surely there's other verses. Like, that's a great verse. But if my faith is in only Jeremiah 29:11, you will run into needing more of God's word than that verse. I promise you. I guarantee you. And yet we latch on to those verses. It's a great verse. And taken within the context, it's very hope-giving. But moms, there's this sincere faith that goes, I need all of God's word. I need so many more promises than just that one. Without my masks, without hypocrisy is what sincere means. A real gritty faith. Because we know raising kids is hard, right? With diapers, with emotional outbursts, with all the different things that go on. And as they get older and the decisions in life, you go, that is a different decision than I would have probably chosen to make in that situation. And how do I work through that? And when they make a really big decision where you go, that's entirely out of a lane that I had thought about. How do we bring faith to those things? How do we grow through those seasons with a sincere faith? So I thought of this verse, especially as I talk with Kimberly at times, that life can just feel overwhelming. There's so many things that need to be done, right? And especially when kids are small, it can feel like my life is just like all over the table in a sense. And this verse in Psalm, it says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Has anyone ever seen how a vine grows? Vines just kind of go all over, right? And so, especially moms, you are well aware of this feeling of like, I feel like my life is everywhere all over this table. I feel like it's just growing in every direction. And there's needs all over. And I don't ever feel like I'm at the end of it. Well, it seems like that's a little bit of the promise of God, that your life is growing in that way and that your children will be like olive shoots around your table. If I want that life that's fully growing in the vine, in Christ, what is the promise before these verses that unlocks this result? I'll share with you. Don't have to answer that. It's blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. All of what this morning I'd like for you to think about, ladies, specifically, is this is a life fearing the Lord, and to walk in faith in a world that does not fear God, in a world that says God is not there. Do not bank on his promises. Take matters into your own hands. Create your own destiny. You are the master of your own fate. You are the captain of your own destiny. In a world that would shout all those messages to you, this is something you can take to the bank. This is an eternal promise to you. There is a blessing for you that you fear the Lord, that you fear God, that you go, I want to know what he thinks about these things. And in that promise, there will be this fruitfulness, this vine. And will you ever get to the point where it's all well organized and that vine never stops, right? Like sometimes you might get a little tired of the viney life where it's just going everywhere. It probably won't, but it will be fruitful when you walk in the fear of the Lord, to walk in his ways. So the faith of mothers to fear the Lord. One is that mothers, you are given this amazing opportunity to have a generational faith, right? That's obviously what's built into the idea of being a mother, is you are welcoming and bringing life to new generations, and you stand between multiple generations. Often you feel this community of women above you and below you and all around you, and there's this connection and community that you get to breathe this life-giving bridge to other souls, to other humans that God created. That's an amazing privilege, an amazing place that God has put you in. I'd like to read this story. This is a little bit longer, so bear with me, but this is the early story of Moses, okay, and how he was born and brought up. A man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived, bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Okay, so just pause right there. You've just given birth to a baby. And now that baby, you got to hide for 3 months. What's the faith that's needed to do something like that? What kind of attitude towards God? When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. So we know from later passages this little girl is Miriam, right? Moses' sister. So little Miriam is getting to walk by the river. She sees her little baby brother Moses. And just a question that this story has kind of put into my mind is like, how come Aaron didn't get put into a... Wait a minute. Aaron never got given up. That's a question I have. Okay, why didn't Aaron have to go through the same thing as Moses? I don't know the answer to that. That's just what this story has caused me to think about. But anyway, Miriam is walking along the river and sees her little baby brother. Pharaoh's daughter picks him up. When Pharaoh's daughter opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" What amazing, great faith of little Miriam. To speak in the presence of this ruler's daughter, and to say, I might be able to speak up, and this might be an opportunity for my mom to stay connected with her little baby boy. Shall I go call for you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. So now, after having given up your child into this basket, you receive him back, but only in a worldly sense on loan. And all the heartache that she must have felt as she nursed Moses. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So now she's getting paid to nurse her child. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. What a moment that would have been. So later we learn, Moses' mom's name was Jochebed, I believe is how you pronounce it. The faith of Jochebed, you're thrown into that situation as a woman and to say, how can I fear God? How can I bring my good to this child where we're enslaved and oppressed? And now I'm getting paid to nurse my own child, but now I've got to raise him to give him away. And all of what went through her heart, that moment when she said, "Moses, it's now your time. I am your earthly mom. This is now going to be your other mom." All the pain that she would have gone through. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." So really, you don't get the Exodus without the faith of Jochebed. And even in the story, they don't share her name. We learn her name later. So even in this place of almost feeling anonymous, does anybody recognize and see the faith of Jochebed and how much she had to walk through in fearing God to bless Moses and to be this generational bridge to him, to love him? Okay, another example. Anybody? I'm guessing a few people know, but you guys know who Zariah is, right? It's all throughout David's life, the sons of Zariah. Yeah? The sons of Zariah. For the longest time, because I never looked up who Zariah was, I assumed the sons of Zariah was like the sons of this man. Zariah is the mom. Okay? So Zariah is David's sister. Zariah is David's sister. So all throughout David's life, there's all this story about the sons of Zariah. They were basically, obviously, David's nephews. And these mighty works and these mighty things that they had done, all these battles that they went into. So any moms with really active little boys, you might really empathize with the sons of Zariah idea, because these guys became pretty bad. These were some bad guys, what they started to do. They started, as they got older, killing lots of people in the army. And so the faith of a mom who goes, I've got some crazy boys that are just going to go tear this neighbor. They're going to tear this country apart. They're going to go wild. Some of the what do these three sons of Zariah's end up doing? So Asahel, he eventually got killed by Abner, who was on Saul's side. There was this big battle. You guys remember? It's one of those stories where you're like, this has to be a true story because it's just so interesting. Who would make up the story where it's like Asahel's chasing Abner and Abner's like, I'm going to turn to the right. Stop turning to the right. No, I'm going to turn to the left. Stop turning to the left. Right? And he just keeps chasing him and eventually gets killed. Joab, he later becomes the chief of the army, and Abishai, he becomes the chief of the mighty men. So all the moms with some rambunctious little boys, you go, how do I harness this energy? What's going on? These boys are very different than the impulses that rage through me. That the faith that's needed to raise boys, the faith that's needed to raise boys that will go on to try to do some very risky, hard things. Part of the faith of Zariah would be, let's not inoculate these boys to doing hard things and to trying risky things, to letting their aggression hopefully be used and directed by God, but that's given by God. In the sorrow, obviously, of losing one of her sons. But if you hear some of the deeds of Abishai, that was probably because a mom knew this boy is fairly somewhat crazy maybe, but also filled with God's design so that he could kill how many Edomites in one day? Oh my goodness. Did his muscles start cramping? Like, what's going on? This is insane. And moms, as you think about even the difference between raising boys and daughters, the faith that's needed between the difference between those two things, how to help your boys grow into these young men that aren't afraid of risk, are called into this activity with God. There's a faith there. So this generational faith that moms have. Also moms and grandmas and spiritual moms especially, I just love for you to just hold on to this. You are empowered to teach your kids. You are empowered to bring wisdom to your kids. They probably may remember what that fork at the dinner table is for, or may not. I don't know. They will hold on to your wisdom. Whatever that wisdom is, it could be great wisdom, could be bad wisdom. Proverbs 6, I've seen this be true. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. How many times my mom's voice has been in my head from the things that she shared with me growing up. I so love and appreciate that I had a mom that had a firm no. But the way she would share that, this was her saying, no is 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 no. And I've had her voice in my head, my mom's voice, her teaching in my head as I walk. I go, there's a firm no there from God. There's a firm no there from others. Thank you, God, for my mother's teaching. Other great ones, right? Like, do I look like I was born yesterday? That was another one. I can't trick her. What am I trying to manipulate? What am I trying to get out of her? That's run through my head. And so moms, know that your wisdom, whether it's things like that, other wisdom, stays with your kids. Don't stop. Don't stop sharing that wisdom. Don't stop giving that wisdom. You get to impress the hearts of all future generations. And every influencer, every disciple, every child of God, you get to be the first voice, the first nurturing, tender, loving direction giver. You get that privilege as a mom. And to use that to bring wisdom, to bring God's heart into their lives. How many times my mom, as I was growing up, would say, have I told you today how much I love you? And how that's sunk into my heart as a not just a wisdom, but that's her heart towards me. You get to have that as the moms, and you get to have that as grandmas. That's my mom and Will. She's really sweet in that she. Well, this is kind of a longer story because this is the All-Star Game at Coors Field, the baseball All-Star Game. I think this was 2021. I think it was when they hosted it. They first hosted it in the 90s, and she and I got to go to the All-Star game at Coors Field. Got to see kind of my idol growing up was Ken Griffey Jr. It's like, oh my goodness, if I could only meet Ken Griffey Jr., that'd be amazing. But got to see him play and play with the All-Stars. And then, because she's really sweet and thoughtful, she found ways to get tickets for the game in 2021. And then she and I and Will got to go together to this. And just her heart with all of our grandkids, seeing her care for them well and love them. She loves to spoil them. She loves to give them all the things. So those momisms, what are those momisms, those words of wisdom that you can keep sharing, keep imprinting on your kids through the years? I was struck that Proverbs 31, it's the words of King Lemuel, but where did King Lemuel get his words? He got his words from his mom. So I was trying to look into who is King Lemuel? Was he a real person? What's going on here? There's a lot of different thoughts on who he was. King Lemuel, the word Lemuel just means like special one of God. So some people think that was just a play name for Solomon, that Solomon was King Lemuel. So if that's true, maybe it is, maybe it's not, we don't know. But if it is, that means that these words are from Bathsheba, Solomon's mom. And my understanding is that whole chapter would be what his mom shared with him. So not just this first section of Proverbs 31. So when you think about the Proverbs 31 woman, does it change how you think about that if that's from a mom giving her wisdom to a son of here's what you look for in your spouse? This is what you should be looking for in your future bride as a mom trying to mentor and help and teach her son. I think there's a pretty good case you can make for that's what Proverbs 31 is. A mom trying to mentor and teach her son in those things. So in this, what did his mom teach him? Don't give your strength to women. That's what Proverbs 31 says right after this. It's not for kings to drink wine and strong drink. It's not for you to get drunk. Don't go chasing after these fleeting passions. Serve those who are weaker. Stand up for others and their benefit. Here's the kind of woman you should have your eye on. I see that with my wife, Kimberly, and all that she does. This was a fun time we got to have on her birthday a couple years ago. But just what is such a delight for me as a dad is when I hear her heart and her teachings coming out through my kids' words. Mom said this. That's really wise. You should listen to mom. Keep doing that, what mom said. She's really wise. So moms, it might feel really small right now. And it does start very, very small. But it builds into this life. Those words matter. Those words matter so, so much. Faith of mothers, they live in kingdom realities. I kind of touched on this a little bit already with Jochebed. Jochebed didn't get to be a mom as she thought the best life of a mom would look like, right? She had to give her son away to the oppressive ruler. Think about Mary, and this is kind of a poignant passage in the Gospels. Someone's trying to highlight to Jesus, hey, Jesus, stand at attention. Your mom's here. Your brothers are here. Hey, Jesus, look, Mary and all those other brothers, they're here. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Hey, Jesus, you know, I don't know what they were trying to say to him. You're late on your electric bill, whatever they're trying to get to him. But he replied to the man who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And there's that like, well, in one sense, would somebody walk away really offended? You could probably find a place where you go, I'm pretty offended right now if I'm Mary. Who is my... Mary is your mother. Remember? I did not go through those 10 months for nothing. What do you mean, who is my mother? You come here right now. Could have responded that way. There's this spiritual kingdom reality that Mary had to live in and to walk in. And as moms, that we have to walk in, that the children you bore, that you're so close to, they will not answer to you at the end of their life. they will not answer to you. They will answer to God. And there's this hard tension as a mom that you live in, that these ultimately are not my kids. These belong to God. This is my stewardship from God. Are they your kids? Yes. I'm not saying there's some state-run program that they're not your kids. They're your kids, but in a spiritual reality, they will not answer to you at the end of their life. They will answer to God. And so I'm stewarding underneath the rule and reign of Jesus, underneath the rule and reign of his kingdom. All of what's going on in my family will answer to him. Not just because I want it this way in my house or not, but because he's king. At the long list of people that Paul mentions at the end of Romans 16, he's talking about all these people to greet. He talks about Rufus, chosen in the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. And I just love that phrase, greet his mom, because she's been like a mother to me as well. I can't tell you, there's a number of women that have been like a mother to me. In this spiritual economy, this kingdom economy of love and care, that I look up to it, and there was one older woman in Fort Collins that is like the very first time I met her, I'm like, you're just like my mom. And she's like, ah. And I was like, that sounds just like my mom. You know, it's just like everything you're doing is just like my mom. And she worked on staff. She was the receptionist. Her name was Debbie. She's amazing. And she's roughly my mom's age. And she would just always joke. She's like, I'm your Summit View mom. And I was like, yes, in a lot of ways, you care for me in that same posture, that same heart. And so moms, in this kingdom reality, in this world that we're in the gospel, in Jesus' kingdom, it's not just your birth children. You get to be a spiritual mom. Do you know the impact you can have on the other men and women that are younger, that you can speak into, that you can care? You can say, I know this might sound a lot like your mom, but this, whatever that would look like, as they're growing, many older women have been like a mother to me. Okay, finally, the faith of mothers. The faith of mothers, women, in whether you're expectant, whether you're spiritual mom, grandma, new mom, whatever place, is to believe God and to believe his character. This world will say, unless you've read this book, you don't know how to raise your kids the right way. Unless you've done this little thing, you might have screwed them up forever. Right? That's kind of the world of parenting, is you have to do it, you have to thread this needle just right. And if you do it just right, just like I did, then they might, right? That's kind of the tone of how those things go. There is a book that if you haven't read, that will really help you. And that's his word. To believe God and his promises. To believe his character. When you look at Hebrews 11. It's this chapter of faith. These great people of faith. And one of those people is Sarah. It's not just a bunch of men. There's women in that hall of faith as well. So Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Okay, so that was the faith of Abraham. He had this great vision, go to a land that's not your own. I'm going to go walk. I'm going to be in exile. What about Sarah? By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since it wasn't just this miraculous thing that was afflicted upon her. There was some activity of faith that she participated in that promise. She considered him faithful who had promised. Sarah's faith was working in that story of the promise. She wasn't just this bystander of like, oh my goodness, my husband's doing this crazy thing for God, and I guess, oh, something's going to happen. I don't know. Her heart was united with God's character. Her heart was considering him faithful who had promised. And because of Sarah's faith that participated in that way, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. You do not have the people of Israel without the faith of Sarah. You do not have the story of God's work in this world without the cooperating, participating faith of Sarah. And at times, your husband might say, I have this big vision from God of wanting to try to follow him in this way. And it's not to just say, I guess I'll do nothing. I'll just hope I'll just be along for the ride. Ladies, to say, what is God connecting to your heart in that journey? Where can you find him in that process? How can you participate alongside that, together with him? She considered him faithful who had promised. I'd love for us to just consider, what would be some of the things, if Sarah was in a community of other moms and other ladies, and she goes, yeah, we're here because my husband got told by God to come to this other country. What would be some of the advice that those other women of the land would probably start to give her? Any ideas? This is genuine. Obviously, none of us know what they would have said, but what would be some of the things you think other women would have looked at her and tried to start telling her? What's that? Learn the language. What are you doing here? That guy's crazy. What else? Maybe there'd be some that are, yeah, that'd be good advice. Try to remain positive. Here's my point in all of that. When God is calling to you to in this faith, to be also a woman that calls to the other ladies to walk in faith. How easy it would have been for those women to be, get up and get out of here. Go do whatever you want. This is insane. And what would have been forfeited in taking that advice. And so ladies, as all of us are in a journey of faith, to say, let's help each other consider him faithful who's called us in that, in all those responses. So I want to finish with this video. I thought this was a great video, a touching video, but it just looks at the faith of moms through scripture and through time and how in all of those things, God is weaving a story. Ladies, God is weaving a story in each meal, in every small and big act that you do. God is weaving a story of faith in the lives of those that you care for.
Found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The motherhood of this blessed woman was more than the continuation of the family name, but a means for God to bring a Savior into the world, to save his people from their sins. From the garden to the cross, there have always been mothers. These women paved the way for all women, representing the full spectrum of the ways one could be called mom. Whether a mother in faith, mentorship, adoption, or by birth, you play an important role in the
Motherhood plays an important role in the Bible. It binds the beginning and the end. These stories offer us a glimpse into the heart of God, and so we start at the beginning. Taken from the side of Adam, gifted with bringing forth life, the first woman was named Eve because she was the mother of all living.
Ladies,
but she was also a mother in her own right, the first of many mothers to come.
The word of God for us. Blessed is everyone.
Though Sarah's womb was closed,
the Lord,
God promised nations and kings would come
from
her.
Eat the fruit of the
10 years pass, and motherhood seems as impossible as the day it was promised. But the Lord is faithful to keep his promises, and Sarah bore a son who made her laugh.
That's God's promise as we fear him.
Leah was the firstborn, overlooked by her husband Jacob, who gave his heart to her younger sister.
Ashamed and isolated,
when the Lord saw that Leah was hated,
like
he opened her womb. Despite Jacob's disdain, she found her motherhood in the Lord. When Pharaoh became angry at the fruitfulness of the Hebrews, Jochebed sacrificed her motherhood for the sake of her son.
Thank you, Mom.
When Pharaoh's daughter saw the child, she had compassion on him. Because of Jochebed's sacrificial motherhood, the Israelites found freedom.
Thank you, Lord, for our mothers.
Naomi was a mother who experienced the loss of her sons, yet she gained a daughter in Ruth, who declared, "For where you go, I will go. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God." Naomi and Ruth became family by faith.
And their desire
Mary, a virgin and not yet married, was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. The motherhood of this blessed woman was more than the continuation of a family name, but a means for God to bring a Savior into the world, to save his people from their sins. From the garden to the cross, there have always been mothers. These women paved the way for all women, representing the full spectrum of the ways one could be called mom.
That we might
whether
be
a
able
mother
to see
in
the
faith,
rewards like this psalm,
mentorship,
and like so many other rewards
adoption, or by birth, you play an important role in the stories of generations to
grandma,
come.
Spiritual mom,
to all the Sarahs, Leahs, Jochebeds, and Naomis, happy Mother's Day.